Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Fuck fleas, man. I hate them. I hate seeing them.
Fleas?
Yes. I have 10 in a Tupperware and I just, because I put soap and water and it's their little jail cell.
And I'll the Ryan McGee private prison.
If I find one on Lego or if I find one, I just fucking take it and I put it in there and I watch it suffer. And then I and then sometimes I take some soap and I glop it on top of it. And then I watch it with the soap sink down to the bottom, struggling.
That little fucker.
I have a prison of currently 10 inmates of fleas.
So Ryan, you got a private prison going.
I do.
Dude, I hate fleas. When I was a kid, when my pets would get fleas.
I blame
fleas,
you, Matt.
Why are you blaming me?
It's that one flea.
I've had no fleas
infested,
in my house.
That infested my whole house. It's that one flea on that kitten.
The timing is questionable.
Because it was literally the day after where I noticed the fleas.
We haven't had any flea problems, though. And we're the one with six cats.
Yeah, because I took the problem for you.
You took the one flea.
I took the one flea away.
I used to catch fleas and put them in a Ziploc bag. Just like how it's funny you're doing this because I did the same thing where I'd mm-hmm. be like, fuck these fleas. And I'd take them off my cats and I put them in a Ziploc bag and be like, ha ha ha.
But they bite your ankles throughout the day.
They suck, dude. I have like flea bites fucking because they last for like 10 years. The flea bites. Not literally 10 years,
yes,
but they last for a long time. You know, they'll last for like a week.
I have a collar on Lego, which is supposed to help. It's like a Seresto collar. I use the back ointment, but I still find some fleas on them. It's like, why is it these fleas are just, I feel like I've run into a new clan of fleas. Like, they're the gorillas of fleas.
Feed him asbestos, that's actually supposed to help a lot.
But I don't recall this being the flea episode.
I don't think it is, actually.
I recall episode 199, as promised, being the poo-poo episode.
Yes, it is.
So, here's the sound of a nice poo-poo to start it off.
Welcome to the poo-poo episode, everyone. If you remember in episode 198, we had a lot of very serious, real discussions, so we promised that episode 199 would be the poo-poo episode to balance it out, right? So, welcome everybody. Hope that you've all been having a good week, a good day, a good evening, whenever you're listening to this. Even if it's the year 2026, you can still enjoy the poo-poo episode.
Exactly.
Ryan, put another sound effect in.
Where?
Just here.
Oh. That was nice.
Fill the episode with that.
Every now and then I'll probably throw one in. It's the poo-poo episode. We've had two podcasts in a row talking about very serious topics.
And it's time to get back to our roots, guys.
And I feel like people need a break from the darkness.
That's the thing is, you know, we'll talk about serious stuff, stuff that's very important to us and very important in the world. But at the same time, hey.
You gotta have that poo-poo.
Gotta have that poo-poo.
It's what we built our channel on.
It is. We wouldn't be super mega without having some poo-poo episodes. So,
in fact, for the special YouTube viewers, unfortunately, you early Spotify users won't be able to enjoy this. Here's a picture of some poo-poo.
Whoa! YouTube viewers are looking at it right now going, damn, these Spotify viewers, these Apple Podcast viewers are jealous.
Sure, y'all got it early, but do y'all get to see the poo-poo?
Nope.
I don't think so.
Nope, sorry. That's just too bad. Go home, tell dad. I'm moving on from poo-poo just for a little bit. Don't worry. I'm going to come back to the poo-poo. But
okay.
I encountered the most ridiculous bullshit earlier this morning because, so, you know, I have a website. I have matthwatson.com, but I've never particularly loved the username Matt H. Watson because it's a little confusing with that H in there. People think it's Matthew Watson.
How do you think I feel?
Eli Rye McGee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yours is very down to the points. Eli Rye McGee.
But yeah, but people are like, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Mine's like
Eli Rye McGee. Like they try to do that thing.
People always think it's Math Watson.
Ah.
Or Matthew missing the E. Because basically it's just Matthew Watson combined without the E. I wish I just had Matt Watson. Or I wish I actually just had at Matt. And I DM'd the guy that owns it. And I was like, hey, man, what a... You got a price?
There's no way he's giving up at Matt.
Well, I asked him like for a price. And he's like, considering I've turned down people with requests of $25,000.
Is this guy like famous?
No.
Dude. Dude, if I wasn't like as comfortable as I am working on YouTube... And I was like still in South Carolina working at a food line or something, I would 100% give up my at for $25,000.
I don't know why he wouldn't. Maybe it's a prize. No hate to the dude because it's a good username. If he wants to keep it, he can keep it. But he was like, considering I've turned down offers of $25,000, I don't know.
Is he on Twitter right now, at Matt? Yeah.
Can you DM him and say, like, listen, can we just start a bully campaign? And give him no, don't. Do not. He's just living his life.
He's a nice dude. And he's probably gonna message Matt after this about
what the hell, man? Anyway, I wanted to get...
I can't tell if this guy has a mustache or not.
It's like going or... You can't tell if it's coming or going.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. Is that Matt? Is that at Matt?
I think ever since you tried to do the mustache, he was trying to copy you.
I think so. He started a new gaming channel called Hyper Mega, and I'm getting a little upset.
Did he?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Wish.
He
is the Matt, though, and I would kill it. You know, it would undo my verification if I changed my name, but I would do it for just to have at Matt.
Uh-oh.
What? What?
I'm looking at his description, and one of the links is at some company, but it says account suspended. Is he a does he need to be canceled?
We ruined this dude's life just so I can get the username. We crush him financially with debt and court cases until like he has to take the money, and it's only like $100.
God, I swear to God, if he sends like a harassment lawsuit over this,
do not antagonize here, at Matt.
So we can play this part in court. Do not antagonize at Matt on Twitter. We have no culpability. It's just a subject on our podcast. He's probably a fucking amazing dude with hopes and dreams.
He's probably already loaded, because if he's turning down 25 grand for a Twitter handle...
Well, he works with several companies. One of them's called @FunKids.
Really?
Yeah. It's a children's radio for the UK, Fun Kids, nationwide.
Oh.
Fun Kids Junior.
He's British.
Yes.
Okay. That explains it. All right, well, no, but I know...
They have Minions and Taylor Swift. Is that Shawn Mendes?
That looks like one of those. I'm going to be honest. That looks like one of those.
Is that Shawn Mendes?
I don't know.
Who is this?
I don't know what Shawn Mendes looks like.
Neither do I.
That's at Matt. That's Matt.
I'm going to look up Shawn Mendes.
I think that he... that looks like one of those fake like Elsa Gate things.
Well, it's not.
It's a real company. Anyway, I know there's that group of fans that are
like Shawn Mendes.
Shawn Mendes.
I'll throw up the picture.
That's an old white man.
I'll throw up the picture on YouTube.
That's
fuck
the real
you,
Shawn
Spotify.
Mendes. No, but
I'm
they're
just kidding. No.
There really
That's
are some kids that are gonna
involved.
Go and DM him some stupid shit. Don't. I'm serious. That just makes me look bad. Don't do that. Well, we're gonna troll Matt and do it anyway. Okay. Well, the other Matt know that I don't condone that. Anyway.
And I don't condone it.
Oh.
As well, because he's going to come after the company, not the person.
Brent Lilly actually was the one that gave us the idea of Game Grumps Incorporated. So take all legal matters up with that company.
Game Grumps Incorporated.
But
don't you have to name it like an incorporated thing? Or
you don't
no?
have to. The incorporated comes afterwards.
Why did we do that?
Super Mega Productions Incorporated? Well, I think the incorporated is just put there, right? Because
yeah.
It is and just like something LLC, like Smosh
got
LLC.
Got it.
But the reason I brought this whole thing up is because I have MattHWatson.com, and I wanted just MattWatson.com because I don't want to be confusing. So I'm going to try to sell.
Does someone else
to
have
shirts.
This website?
Well, someone parked it, right?
Parked it. Oh, like bought it and was like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. So it's a very lucrative business of parking domains.
Rooster Teeth, the people that like the main guys that people would think of early Rooster Teeth. That's essentially what they did. They like took a bunch of. Kind of just generic names like Let's Plays and just websites with a general name, and
yep.
They'd sell them to people who would want those websites. It was its own kind of market.
That's the thing, is it's like, oh, I can buy chickennoodles.com and I bought it for $8, and then eventually some company's going to want it, and I could sell it for $35,000. But the person who owns MattWatson.com didn't want $35,000. You know how much they wanted for MattWatson.com?
How much?
$1 million.
$1
million? $1 million. I got the email back this morning. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
I have a feeling
it's like... $1 million?
I think it's a middle schooler that bought the website for like $2 and thinks that you're rich because you work on YouTube.
I think that they didn't actually have an offer. I think what they did was they looked up my name. And they were like, oh, he's famous. That means he's rich. $1 million for this website. It's like, no. I offered $1,000. $1,000 was my max.
We are so far away from even the company having $1 million.
People think we're like super wealthy. We're well off, but we're not.
We've said it many times. We're comfortable as fuck, but we're not going out there buying McLarens for no reason.
We're not those YouTubers that got 3 McLarens in the garage. And that is not a call out on Captain Sparks.
How about this? I'll put it this way. So many YouTubers, you wouldn't even think about, like, because of their subscriber base or maybe the views they get, they end up going off and they'll buy a Tesla as kind of like their first big purchase. We're still not up to that point. We don't have Tesla money yet.
I'd love to buy a Tesla, but
buy a new car.
Pig.
Not like recently, but I replaced the what is it?
The Fiat
a while back.
People, that was a big deal. People were like, is the Fiat gone?
Yeah, it's gone. I needed trunk space and shit.
That car was amazing, and I have so many great memories tied to it, and I loved whipping that thing around, but I gotta say, Fiats are
so easy
tiny
to drive
cars.
And park, dude. I loved... the two things was on highways, you could easily just whoop, like get in.
Someone's not letting you in, which is very common in California.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Whoop.
You're just a tic tac. You go whoop.
Yeah.
And then parking, super easy. Never had trouble. Yeah.
You could park at like 20 miles per hour, just whip into a whoosh.
And part of me kind of misses it, but I have to say, I do enjoy having leg room and room for people to sit in the back seats. That's nice.
I think the perfect car is a sedan. Is like a...
We both have sedans.
We do. I have a Honda Civic, and you have some Mazda car. And,
yeah.
And it's you have the Mazda sports car.
Yeah.
And
I have the Mazda 8.
They actually do.
I will say, a Mazda 8.
I looked up sports cars that are from like normal car companies like Honda and Nissan. They have some nice cars.
See, my next kind of you know how people have big purchases, like you hear about, like my dad got a boat at an auction thing, whatever. My next big purchase, I'm really wanting to go out and drive a motorcycle, but
ooh,
part of me feels like that'll be the end of me. I have too much bad luck for that not to
you
be
don't
the
have
way
bad luck at all. Well, you might have a little bad luck. But
I can't remember what happened, and this is going to be a shitty story because I can't remember specifics, but there was one time where I told you, I looked you in the eyes, I'm like, watch this, this is going to happen because of my bad luck. And right after I said that thing happened, and it was hard. I can't remember what it was, though.
I do remember you and I having a conversation a long time ago where we were like, things are too good right now. And then, like, the next day, some very bad stuff happened.
Yeah.
But I think that, well, here's the thing. I think maybe you have some bad luck, but I think you also have some really good luck.
Yeah.
Because...
Or maybe the people around me are having the good luck, and I'm just... I'm a parasitic fucking insect, and I'm feeding off of that success. And luck.
Well, here, if you're worried about getting a motorcycle, because you're worried you're going to crash it, motorcycles are wobbly, right? Two wheels? Get a sidecar, but it has balance. Then I can ride along, too.
I think they're tougher to drive with a sidecar.
With a sidecar, really?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because I figured that would balance it out.
I haven't driven
more,
a motorcycle. I would like to.
You never driven one?
I mean, if I don't buy a motorcycle, I'm going to buy a firearm and just start doing some practice in my backyard. No, that's a lie.
How fast would the cops show up if you just started shooting an assault rifle in your backyard?
They wouldn't care. You know how many fireworks are going off lately?
See, where that's it's like, okay, what's up with the fireworks shit?
What's up with that?
What's up with that?
Oh, wait. Sorry, guys. Here's a funny poo-poo. Okay. Back to the fireworks.
Fireworks, ever since the George Floyd protests have begun, there's been this nationwide phenomenon.
Yes.
Phenomenon. Of just fireworks going off nonstop every day. And I haven't seen them. I've only heard them. I've seen them like twice.
Oh, I see them.
But people say it's a conspiracy theory. People say it's the police trying to desensitize us to gunshots.
I think it's that since not a lot of people went out on Memorial Day and it's rearing up to be July 4th, a lot of kids and people in general are stuck at home. I think that it's just kind of like a mixture of, hey, we have a bunch of fireworks, and now all of a sudden that it's a big thing. People are like, oh, now I'm that guy. I have a voice. My life has purpose. I have a meaning. I am the fireworks guy in my neighborhood now.
I can be a faint let's yeah. player Ryan McGee at 6 p.m.
I can startle dogs.
Dude.
Lego hates fireworks, dude.
Animals hate fireworks.
What?
Animals hate fireworks. Yeah. I strapped some fireworks to the kittens, and they fucking hated it.
Well, like, Lego will just come in, and he'll just, like, dip his head, like if I'm sitting playing a game, he'll dip his head in, like, my crotch and just bury his head in my crotch. Not in a sexual way.
Well, they don't...
I'm the more sexually aggressive one when it comes to Lego and I's relationship. He's more passive. He was just doing it because he's a scared boy.
I think that like,
I don't want a Shane Dawson moment, so of course I have to, just in case.
Well, here's the thing about
I'm telling the truth. Nothing wrong with having sexual intercourse with your pet as long as they consent. And if you say animals can't consent, that's bullshit. They can consent.
Of course, you're not legitimately, you know, engaging in, or maybe you are, but that's your personal life, and I'm not going to pry.
Exactly. Just like gay people fought for their rights. Why can't I fight for mine?
Equating having sex with your dog to gay people.
That's what Southern people do.
That's what my dad does.
What's the next thing, huh? They're going to force us to marry our dogs?
It's a slippery slope, Ryan.
Yes, Dale. They will put a dress on a dog, and they will have a pastor at a church.
With it at gunpoint. Fuck that dog, Dale. Okay.
No! Oh, God! But then, like, it's like 5 years later, Dale's getting up from bed. Here's like the tippy taps of the dog paws.
Oh, I smell bacon. Hey, baby, I didn't know you were making bacon so early. God, I love you so much.
God, I'm kind of in the mood this morning.
Smash cut 5 years from now. There's going to be some like video on Twitter of just this podcast clip. Like, wait a second. What did he say?
Did they sexually molest animals? No, we don't. Just our pets. Tweet.
It's like, I did not fuck my dog. I did not come on my dog. I had that tweet saved on my phone just because it's just such a preposterous, hilarious, like, I did not fuck my cat. I did not come. I didn't put my dick anywhere near my cat.
I'm pretty sure if like a human man fucked a cat, that cat would probably have some sort of internal injuries.
Yes. Shane Dawson said he rubbed his penis on the cat until he ejaculated.
That's very possible.
That's very possible, yeah.
Especially if you use your like thumb or your hand to push weight on the top of your penis.
So I'm not gonna.
I'm only speaking from experience. I can't.
We should just move on.
I'm having too much fun with it.
It's fun.
I have too much fun with Lego sometimes.
Okay, you were talking about your big purchase. Motorcycle.
That's not gonna happen for a while, just because.
I think my big purchase would be.
But you can get them for so cheap.
Yeah, motorcycles. You can get them for really cheap.
Especially just put a little small down payment on it, pay it off over time.
I'd love to get a moped. Motorcycles scare me. Motorcycles are like big boy mopeds.
You can't drive a moped down the PCH.
That's the thing. But I would be too scared even to drive a motorcycle on the PCH or the highway, because when I was in Hawaii, I rented a moped for a week.
And I drove
that on the streets. You can't drive it on like the freeway, but you can drive it on the, you can't drive it on like the interstate. But I actually broke the rules once because I had to get somewhere, and I got on like the bike lane, and I went, and it was scary, but I will say it was very fun. But that day in Maui, it was incredibly windy, and I kept feeling like I was about to fall off the moped. Very scary, but it was fun. I would love to get a moped, zip it around where I live.
Sorry, I'm just a fuck, man.
You okay? What's going on?
My body's like, I don't know. You know when you're hungry, it just hurts. But I ate a good bit yesterday. I don't understand.
Well, the key word in that is yesterday.
Well, I mean, food takes a bit to digest, and it should be like I ate a bunch of trash yesterday, honestly.
Well, the average person's hungry like three, four times a day.
Damn it, I'm falling back into it, man. I had a week without smoking a single cigarette, over a week without smoking a single cigarette. And then I got a pack recently again.
Oh no.
Fuck me. And then I was doing well with my weight.
Throw it out.
I think I'm having like a big relapse right now.
Oh, it's easy.
But now that I say it, I can stop it.
But that's the thing. It's easy to have a big relapse at once because you convince yourself it's like, oh, well, I already smoked one cigarette. Oh, I already ate this.
When I stopped smoking and was eating a tad better, I remember going to bed a lot easier, waking up naturally. This morning, I woke up to the sound of my alarm at like God knows what time, and I felt awful. I just like was dehydrated. I felt just not fucking good, man. I'm thinking it's like, hey, this is a wake up call. This is this is God saying, if you ever had a more obvious a Venn diagram of your situation, this is how close we're going to get to it. You need to recognize this shit, boy. And I go, haha, God, you're not real. And then he goes, fuck you, Ryan. And then he curses me with nicotine addiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's all God's fault in the
end. It is God. You don't have to worry about it or hold yourself accountable.
Exactly.
It's God's fault. I think that a good tip that I learned, and you know, I'm not someone to take advice from because I wake up at like 3 p.m. every day. Put a glass of water by your bed for when you wake up. And the very first thing when you open your eyes, sit up and just chug that water. Gets those systems flowing.
I did chug some water. My problem was, though, that like... Oh, my God. I'm sorry for yawning through most of that sentence, but I think the problem...
It's okay. Counteracted with a fart sound effect.
Okay. There we go.
Nice.
I'm gonna love editing this one. The problem is that it's a bunch of things in one. Back to smoking cigarettes, so it makes me... I think cigarettes in general just make you more anxious or prone to anxiety.
Oh, yeah, dude. When I was juuling... And when I would quit juuling and then I pick it back up for a week or two, I would notice my anxiety, general anxiety, not like it wouldn't be about anything specific. I would just feel more anxious, not as happy. But then things that would make me anxious would make me 10 times more anxious.
And that's simply just because you do get anxious when you are craving for a cigarette, but your brain may not know that like, hey, I'm craving a cigarette right now. So you'll just be like, why am I anxious? And then you'll attribute that anxiety to something else. And then on top of that, eating like shit wears you down and makes your stomach and heart feel shitty for the whole day.
You're a machine. The fuel you put in is what you get back out.
I'm 26 and I can't be fucking around like that anymore. I can't get diabetes, dude.
I
don't want to. I can't get it. I just can't.
22, it's easier to fuck around like that, I guess. I'm starting to feel it at 24. Like my body is not accepting the junk food and the alcohol the same it did at 21.
I also had two ice cream cones yesterday and a big honey bun.
Ooh.
And Tapatio Doritos.
It's a lot of sugar.
And three bowls of cereal. As I said, it was a relapse.
That sounds like a relapse.
There's parts where I'm just like I do well in eating, and then I'll have like, I'm like, I'm just gonna have like a small bowl of Rice Krispies, and then I have that sugar, and I'm like, my body goes.
It's a drug.
It's just like, I need sugar. I need salt.
Sugar addiction's real. Food addiction's real.
Give me salt. Give me sugar. I need my needs satiated.
At least you're looking good. You're looking good. You're looking thin.
Thanks, man.
You're looking way thinner than you did a couple months ago.
I was looking in the mirror and I came down to the fact that it's like I just hate my hips. I just need to get those little fatties off of my hips. And I think
those love handles.
Those love handles. Yeah, ain't much loving going on with them though. I don't love them.
Nobody
I know loves them.
I love them. What am I supposed to do next time we're together?
So now when they're gone and I'm happy with the way I look, you're gonna miss my love handles?
I'm gonna start like secretly, I'm like, Ryan, I made us lunch, and like inject yours with butter and try to get them back.
Butter is the secret ingredient to making so many. Dude, I made some homemade elote the other. Oh, it's so good.
Ooh, elote. Ooh. Dude, I love elote. I haven't had elote in so
boil
long.
That corn. You slather some mayonnaise on it. Roll it in the, I can't remember the name of the cheese, but it's a certain cheese that I grated and, you know, powdery. You roll it in the cheese. Put some hot chili powder on it. Oh, my God. Well, actually, first you do butter, mayo, roll it in cheese, red pepper, and then you can choose to put a little lime juice.
Lime makes it. You got to have lime.
I miss Corn Man, and I can't go out and get Corn Man, so I have to make it myself. Which is still fine. I forgot how, sorry for interrupting you constantly,
okay.
But I forgot how amazing eating off of a cob was.
It feels great, man. It feels so like primal.
It's so juicy.
It's crunchy. It's juicy. It's like, you might get it stuck in your teeth, but that's what God made floss for. Right?
Exactly.
I had hot Cheeto elote where it was rolled in crumbled up hot Cheetos.
You know what? I'm going to try that next time.
It's pretty good.
I'm going to try it because I still have the cheese. I know what cheese I need to get. And then I need to...
It's that real crumbly cheese, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can actually look up the name. Hold up.
Hold up. Queso fresca.
Matt, share a funny poop anecdote while I search for this.
Here's some ad reads.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Wow, those were shitty. Get it? Because it's the poop episode?
We're not calling the brand shitty or the ad read shitty. It's a joke because of the poo-poo episode. Also, we didn't mention this. It's episode 199. You know what's next?
200.
200.
Where apparently I have to tell a beer-con story.
The Budweiser story.
You know what I did there?
Yeah. The Jamaican thing?
Yeah.
What? Jamaican man saying bacon. But yeah. It sounds like...
beer-con.
Sounds like he's saying beer can. What a...
beer-con. No, you say beer can in a Jamaican accent.
Beer-con.
Beer-con. But it's just...
sounds like bacon.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Something like that.
Just like Rise Up Lights. Sounds like an Australian man
Rise
saying...
Rise Up Lights.
Saying
Rise Up Lights.
Get a phone call. Who's calling me?
I'm trying to find this.
Oh,
cheese.
It's Joe Biden's calling me again. He will not stop calling me today.
Motherfuckers.
I gotta text Joe and say stop.
Oh, it's a. I don't know how to pronounce this. Cotija.
Coti. Cotija.
Cotija. Cotija.
Cotija.
Cotija. But there's no Cotija. There's no like accent. So it's like Cotija.
Cotija, maybe?
Cotija.
Well,
Cotija.
I have not had
it's
anything
that cheese.
To eat today, and like, I want some elote now. That sounds great.
It's so fast to make. The only thing that
Where's the corn, Ryan?
I don't know.
I don't have any fucking corn
you
here.
You can
the
buy ears yourself.
I already got two of them. Why would I buy some more? Put a fart sound.
Okay.
Man, I have an update on my kittens.
They're all dead.
Yep.
Anyway, stepped on all of them accidentally. You went. Oops. Oh no!
I stepped out at night to get a glass of water,
and you kept accidentally stepping on one after the other.
The worst thing is that has happened in reality to someone. They've killed like three kittens in a row by accident.
There's people who have killed their kids by accidentally going reverse in their own driveway.
Oops.
Whoopsie.
That's
not an oops. What do you mean oops? Oops, sorry, dear. Oops. I'll be back at 5.
We can make another one.
I mean, they can.
Yeah, so what's the big deal, right?
Yeah.
We can basically, so Mandy, the mother of the kittens, the five kittens I have right now.
Skank.
She is a skank. She was having a lot of sex and she gave birth to-
At a young age,
A lot
too.
Of different kittens, yeah. So a little bit of a whore, if you ask me. But- The time came for her to be adopted out because the kittens aren't supposed to be with their mama for too long, and she had been there long enough.
Otherwise, they'll get mommy issues?
Yeah, they'll become too attached, I think.
Oh, interesting.
Because there's that whole thing where it's like, in nature, she would have been gone by now, and the kittens would have been off on their own,
mm-hmm.
but she's still giving them milk, so that's going to keep them there longer and more, I think just it causes issues. And she needs to be neutered, and she's going off to a ranch to go live the rest of her life with some other feral cats and chase mice. But sounds like a euphemism for getting put down. She's not getting put down. She's actually going to a ranch.
Yeah.
That this company, they send feral cats off to different ranches to live their life as little barn cats. And Mandy, the morning came where I had to go take her down to like Long Beach to go drop her off. And I was sad and she didn't know it was coming. So I had to get her in the carrier. Mm-hmm. And most people don't know this, but feral cats don't like to be handled.
The thing is, most people do know that cats hate carriers. So at least you have that starting point.
Well, I tried to get her in the carrier because she was all calm. And I was just kind of like going to like softly kind of like, come on. Kind of like push her butt a little bit. She freaked out. She bit me and her fang went through my thumbnail all the way into my finger. And then the opposite side of my thumb, the soft side, has 3 fang punctures in it. And then I also have this nice scratch, these teeth marks, this right here.
I learned at a young age that whenever I had to like put a cat in a carrier, you either... It sounds bad. What I did...
Beat them until they're unconscious.
No, I'd just take a towel, throw it over them, bunch them up in the towel, put them in the carrier, and they'd get all loose out of the towel, you know.
I tried doing that.
There's also wearing gloves/kitchen mittens.
I tried doing that stuff.
Did she take your mittens off?
Well, I tried the mittens after the initial... Yeah. After my hands were covered in blood, I got her in after like 20 minutes. Harrison had to come out and like we had to like turn the table on its side and like create like a trap with like
one exit. Just grab the back of her neck?
I probably should have just tossed her, chuck her across the room into it. But we got her. She went off. She's been spayed. Now she's going to go live her life. So I have 5 kittens still. And within a week or two, they should be gone. And I am excited for them to go live their lives.
Because they ruined your couch.
I had to call the city. They ruined your bed. So I had to get rid of my mattress. I had to call the city to come pick up my mattress. And normally it's like, why would you get a whole new mattress? Because a cat peed on it. Mandy peed on it. And it was probably...
Cat peed is not something you can just deal with.
It was about a 2-foot wide stain right where I lay my head at night. And I didn't find it until about a day later. So at that point, it saturated, it soaked in.
Where were you for a day? Where you weren't in your room?
Drug stuff. Trading. But basically she peed, so I'm like, I have to get rid of this now. I couldn't clean it up. And then she ruined my couch, so I had to call the city to come pick up the couch. So now my living room is completely barren except for folding chairs. So I'm waiting for the kittens to be gone just so I can get a couch and have my living room back and not smell like cat piss. Because I got an air freshener, I changed out the air filters in my house, got rid of the couch, I got air, the little Glade plug-in things, because I do not want the house to smell bad. And it smells much better now.
Mm-hmm.
And soon when you come over to work on our secret project, you'll notice I have furniture again and it won't smell like cat piss.
I'm excited. I just feel bad because of the fleas I have.
You're not bringing them over?
No.
And if you are, they'll go to the kittens and then they'll go to someone else's
exactly.
house. So you don't have to worry about it.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, the thing about like the place I live is I don't let Lego in like... I have... like the quote unquote den, right? That's, I guess, for me, the den is the living room, the computer office, and a place where I can do some workouts.
Masturbation room, too.
Yeah, sure. I masturbate in every room. So, yeah.
Every room? The kitchen.
I don't think I've masturbated.
Laundry room?
Well, the kitchen's conjoined with a living room, a quote-unquote living room space. That's where just like
but
Lego
there's the
is.
Tile that set. I would say the tile is where it separates the rooms. Because even though it's not a wall, have you masturbated in the kitchen before?
No.
Living room.
I've never had sex in the kitchen either.
Really?
Yeah.
We can change that, can we?
I usually that those acts are either in the den or the bedroom. So.
Okay. Cool.
Or on the roof. But not like on the roof, like in like kind of like under the like in the attic area.
It's still the roof.
Well, I don't have an attic. There's just a hole in my ceiling that you can crawl into.
It's covered up with a trash bag.
Yeah.
So you can hear it flapping around at night. Sometimes it just gets you in the mood and you got to go up there and release those demons.
Yep.
Yeah. What were you saying? I actually forgot.
About what?
Exactly. You were saying something about the fleas.
Yeah, I just don't want to bring fleas over. And I'm fucking sick and tired of them.
That
was the first anecdote in this podcast was the fleas. Still fucking dealing with them.
Fleas suck. I have a couple flea bites actually. I have like one or two.
Where?
My ankle.
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
So
they're old. They're really old though, but they last for like 2 weeks.
Do they itch for 2 weeks? How long do flea bites itch for?
A long time. They mosquito bites will be gone in a few days. Flea bites will be there for like 2 weeks.
I can never tell if it's a mosquito or a flea at first. But
flea bites are hard.
And so, also, so are mosquito
they
bites.
They bleed real easy.
Mosquito bites well up.
Yeah, but flea bites feel like there's like something actually under your skin. It's like a welt.
Yeah.
I've been seeing a lot of omens lately. It's been scaring me.
About, the headless snake?
Yeah, that's one. So I keep seeing coyotes.
You saw one coyote essentially just have a cat or a small animal.
Raccoon or something. Yeah, so like.
It's a big small animal.
Two times now I've gone for a walk and I'll leave my house and the second I'm walking out, there's just a coyote in my driveway just walking by, just minding his own business, like, hey. Two times.
I still haven't seen a coyote.
And then I saw one walking by with a huge animal in its mouth, but every single time the coyote stops and looks at me and tries to get me to like follow it almost. It's like, it like stops and waits for me like an NPC. And I'm like, that's weird. And I read about it, the coyotes are spirit guides and they want you to follow them. So I was like, whatever. Then,
or it's keeping its eye on you to make sure you're not following it.
No, it's a spirit guide. Okay. And then I saw a metallic balloon floating away in the sky while driving on the highway. And I was
like,
is that
an omen?
Later in the day, other side of LA, I saw the same thing again. A balloon floating away. And I was like, oh shit, that feels like an omen. And then on the way to work today, I see a big ass metallic balloon stuck in a tree. And I was like, shit, this is some kind of omen. And then I was taking the trash out the other night and I found a headless snake. Squirming around, no head, like cut clean off.
Something came, probably a cat came and
just clean off. And I was like, "Oh, a headless snake. That sounds like a bad."
But it
omen.
Looked like it was honestly what you sent me. It looked like just a tail of a lizard.
It was a snake. I squatted down and I was like, "Whoa!" Because I thought it was an earthworm at first.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little snake.
Okay,
I want to get a snake. A
little corn snake.
I want to get a little corn snake or a little the little green ones.
Yeah.
I can't tell if I want a green one or if I want a garden snake.
I like the corn snakes.
Corn snakes are cute. They're so they're simple
I see them
pets.
All the time. I used to... God. Riverbank Zoo. They're still... Dude, Riverbank Zoo has like a seal show habitat looking thing now.
What?
I think.
You fucking with me?
I went like... Yeah, it's the most recent zoo I've been to, and I don't go to zoos all the time. Yeah, they've done a lot of work on Riverbank Zoo.
I love Riverbank Zoo.
Isn't it, like, the biggest or most popular tourist attraction in Columbia or some shit like
probably.
That?
Probably. I imagine the State House is not more popular than the zoo.
No.
The Riverbank Zoo is such a great zoo. It's in South Carolina. It's in the capital.
They got gorillas.
They got bears.
Seals.
They got lions, tigers, oh my.
They got kangaroos or the little tiny kangaroos that you can now go into a cage and walk through this little trail and you can go see them and they're hopping around.
Wallabies?
Yeah, wallabies, I think.
Wallabies are so cute. When I went to that monkey thing up north, I got to pet a wallaby. And I was standing there taking a picture and one ran right between my legs real fast.
Can you believe we just have fresh Tim's still. I'm looking at them. It's a lot. One, two, three. I think we have like two other
I think
pairs.
We have like
too.
Five pairs of Tim's.
It's crazy.
They're expensive too. yeah. So actually, fun fact: when Ryan and I record this podcast, in between us is a table, and underneath the table is a little rack that's just filled with Tim's. So every word of this podcast has to cross over a layer of Tim's to get to the other person first. So in a way, you could say the Tim's are very ingrained. There's a fucking fly again, dude. A fucking fly. We're still in the... Gee, I went right by my face. We're in the fly era of the podcast right now. Still. It hasn't died down. So for those of you, those super mega historians that are making a chart of eras of the podcast and sagas, we're still in the fly saga.
It's ending, though. It's coming
I know.
To an end.
There's only one fly in here. And I haven't seen Rupert, that spider, around anywhere either.
Neither. Oh, he's hiding.
He's hiding or
hiding somewhere.
The flies might have overpowered his ass. You know, you ever think about that?
No.
Oh, sorry, you're just so boring.
Yeah, I know, I understand.
Ugh.
I've been told that before.
Hey, Ryan, I gotta go grab a drink real quick, put some fart sounds in.
And I'm back. Thank you for the fart sounds, for the poo-poo sound.
Of course, my man, of course.
You been watching any good YouTube lately? Because I always see... Every time we do a Q&A on Patreon or just in general, I see people say, what are y'all's favorite YouTube channels? So I figured let's get this out in the open so also we can get some more eyes on some of these epic channels, even though some of them are a lot bigger than us.
One channel that I've been – let me pull it up real quick.
Wait, real quick? Can I
throw something in?
Yeah.
Remember a couple podcasts ago when we were talking about, I think 197, we're talking about old YouTube channels. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned that there was this one YouTube channel that only had like 1,000 subscribers that I loved watching but was never able to find.
Okay.
People reached out to, they found the guy and got him to email me. So we got in touch and we've been talking. The guy that had that small YouTube channel that I looked up to when I was doing Format 24. And I was just blown away. And I looked at his Instagram to confirm it is him.
Oh, talking about that. People figured out Oh, my God. I'm so happy. Someone figured out the duo that I was talking about, the comedic duo. One of the guys actually apparently is on SNL right now.
Whoa.
Yeah. They used to be called Nobody's Watching.
Okay.
So that's why I couldn't remember the name, because it's just one of those things where I couldn't tell. But it was called Nobody's Watching. I think most of the videos they have done, I can't really find them. I can find like shitty quality versions of them, but I can't find like they used to have like, I remember following their saga because they were doing they had this whole bit where they were making a show, and the whole point of the show was that they were making a show, I think. Mm. So
it's crazy. You guys are wild that.
Found that shit. That was cool.
And that I could just mention, like, yeah, I watched this guy with like 1,000 subs back in like 2009, and then his channel disappeared. And you guys somehow, just from what I said, were able to fucking find the guy and link him up with me. Because I got an email that was like, hey, Matt, this is Adam. I heard you were talking about me on your podcast, apparently.
Does he still do stuff?
He's like he went to art school. He made a feature, moved around a lot, started a freelance film business. That's what he said on Instagram to me. Yeah, we were just talking recently and catching up. That was super cool. But back to the YouTube channels.
Yeah. One that I kind of have enjoyed watching, it's a YouTuber by the name of Cass Aris. I think they are not a, I don't know. I can't remember. They're a psychologist of some kind, and they talk about mental health, and they talk about different issues and things, and they tell stories and anecdotes, and it's very also, their voice is super calming. To listen to.
That's the best.
So I really have been enjoying that channel. She has what is it? She has like 7,860,000 subscribers. Ooh. But I'm subscribed and I love watching her stuff, and I think she has a lot of good information to share and a lot of good insight to be shared as well.
Yeah, a lot of my favorite channels are really small ones. Because there's so many. In a time when YouTube seems like it's just consumed by like the Paul brothers and all that shit.
Well, Jake Paul's saying he's been shadow banned or something like that.
I wouldn't be surprised. But also at the same time, he makes so much money.
Banning's a thing that YouTube does for channels.
But I think that he also makes them so much money.
Yeah.
You know, he makes them. YouTube takes 50%, I'm pretty sure. 50%'s the cut or some shit like that.
If for some reason he's making, unfortunately, 20 million this year instead of 22 million, my heart goes out to you, Jake.
I really like, I've been into spooky YouTube a lot,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not like one of those true crime white girls, but I really do like crime. I like mysteries and incidents.
There's a lot of podcasts surrounding that, and I'm surprised you're not into
it. I haven't listened to any podcasts because they're a big commitment, but what I like, I've never been a huge podcast guy because it's always like, oh, it's an hour of my time.
No, well, I don't even see it as like an hour of my, it's like, if I'm doing something, I can have it on like I would music.
Same. Well, I would love to listen to more podcasts. I just don't know. I haven't done research. I don't know.
There's
which
a shit ton of murder mystery podcasts out there. It's like, I think one of the more famous genres.
True crime podcasts are huge. They're the biggest ones, I think. But the thing is, I don't, I'm not super into just like murder stories. I like weird shit. So I like Nexpo. I'm sure a million of you guys follow him. Cause he's actually gotten really big lately. He's getting like, he'll upload a new video, has 1.5 million. Yeah, so he's big now, but he does, I think you would love him, Ryan. He just picks creepy topics like disturbing things from 4chan or like, he has a series called Disturbing Things from Around the Internet, but he does volumes of, they're like 30 minutes each. Where
very much in the same vein of To YouTube.
Yeah, that guy.
The name of Matt Watts.
Same vein, but he's really good. There's a channel called Horror Stories that this guy is just so cookie cutter, not cookie cutter, he's just very like, he's so plain. He doesn't like, hey guys, welcome to the video. He just starts, mm-hmm. reads like a Wikipedia article, and then ends it. So it'll be like, hold on.
A man named Suprianto was pulled down and drowned in the crocodile-filled waters of the Indonesian.
And his video is only like a minute long. So he'll just talk about like an incident from Wikipedia and then be like, He won't even say like thank you, goodbye. It's like, and he died. End of the video.
Dude, so essentially it's like you're, does he have his own script or is he just reading?
I think it's his own script, but but he also includes like videos and pictures along with it. Mm-hmm. And there's not usually like any music or anything, but he does stories about like,
but is it like pictures where it's like when he's talking about an alligator, he shows a picture of like a Google Images alligator?
It's more like this, like he's talking about this actor and like his suicide.
I like how simple it is.
No, that's why I love his channel, because his voice is so.
You don't need things to be just bright and bombastic and shit. Just getting to the point and making it simple is sometimes the best course of action.
Yes, but I found some more channels like that that are just kind of like they report on just like mystery stuff, because I was reading about some weird. I'd love to talk about this more on the podcast, like these weird, I don't want to be a true crime podcast, but there are some really interesting cases that just leave so much up to be questioned. Like I read one about I think it was Rocky Mountain Wilderness in the Rocky Mountain National Park. This kid was playing on the edge of the woods on a hike and then just went missing. And they went all through the woods. They couldn't find him ever. And he's been missing for over 50 years. But then there was another family like 10 minutes later in another part kind of nearby that was taking a hike, and they saw like what they thought was like a man with like a child on his back, and the child was like screaming and he was like running with it, and they never figured out what happened. And then the FBI came in and like shut down the investigation, I think, and like wouldn't give anyone any answers, and they had Green Berets come in and shit too, and like it's just this weird mystery where it seems like authorities were really trying to hide something, and the dad never got an answer,
closure, or anything like that.
And there's just you should look it up. I forgot what it's called, but it's on the Horror Stories channel.
Okay.
But it's just this weird ass mystery where it's like this kid goes missing, but then there's so much more to it where there's just so much like what happened to him.
It's interesting.
And there's all these weird little tidbits, and the FBI throwing out information and stuff, and then like bringing in the military. And the park rangers were saying that like there are groups of people that live in the wilderness, like in America, like in the Rocky Mountains and stuff, that are like fully off the grid, not adapted to modern society at all. Like they like wear pelts and shit, and they cannot, they're like a lost cause. Like they can't be painted or controlled.
It's the same people that are, not in the same way, but it's like the Amish. There are people who just live a different way. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who still live that frontier life.
I don't think these people even, well, these people, like, it's not like they made a choice to. It's like they're born into it. They don't even have a house. Like they just live in the woods and wear like animal pelts.
Interesting.
Which is really interesting in modern day. But they were saying that it could have been one of those people, or because one of those people attacked a park ranger once and almost like killed him because he ran into him. And you know, I don't even think they could speak.
Just a rabid dude.
Yeah, essentially. Which I wonder if that's what a lot of sightings of Sasquatch are. Because there are those people that live there that wear animal furs and stuff. And if you saw like a huge dude in the woods wearing animal furs running around.
Like a bear pelt.
Yeah. I think it's a Sasquatch.
Like a 6-foot dude wearing a bear's pelt.
I'd be terrified.
I'd be more scared of that than Bigfoot, I feel.
Bigfoot, I'd be like, oh, he's just, you know,
I don't know. Bigfoot would have ape strength, like gorilla strength times 10.
Every time I'm camping, I start thinking about Bigfoot, and I'm like, that's so stupid. But I'm like, fuck, I'm scared now. Like, just hear
you just hear that echoing. Just, what was that?
I was sleeping on a hill once, like not at a campsite, like just backpacking with my dad. And we just went off the trail and pitched a little tent. And I was just like, fuck, man, like we're off.
You pitched
the grid.
A tent with your dad?
I did pitch a tent with my dad.
It's nice.
I ended up writing a song about
it. Good
too.
Memory.
But basically, I there was late at night, just things echo through the woods when you're deep in the woods, and you'll just hear like some shit like miles away. And I get it, like the woods full of animals, they're gonna do animal
shit. I think it's necessarily because you can't pinpoint what exactly it is that leaves your mind open to interpretation, and thus that it's whenever you fill in the blanks, it's the same reason why we talk about it's connected in a sense. It's the same reason why we don't, or at least I don't like doing face cam for Let's Plays, because I feel like just having our voice lets people's imaginations kind of fill in the blanks of what our facial expressions are, if we're being deadpan, if we're being overenthusiastic.
Yeah.
I don't know, just giving people like a little bit of room of interpretation kind of adds some breath to what you're doing.
Yeah.
But in this sense, it's in a Scary way.
Well, actually, interesting what you're saying about that is when you have our faces, they're given all the information they need to know exactly how to react. But if it's just our voices, their brain has to fill in the rest. Yeah. And I think that's where there's a lot more, your brain can get a lot more creative with, like, are we just chilling on the couch in a dark room? Are we, like, you know, sitting in office chairs? Are we fucking, like, have our hands on each other's backs?
Also, I feel like our kissing, our bits, we can be more imaginative within our bits.
Oh yeah, they work way better with just audio.
There's a place for face cam.
There like is, but we're never gonna do just face cam let's plays. No, that's not our style. We've made it this. We made over 4 years just doing non face cam let's plays, and a lot of people do want the podcast to switch over to video, and that's something that we've never made our mind up on. We're open to it. We still don't know yet, though.
Yeah,
I mean, at this point, what approaching episode 200 next week, and it's like we haven't
be doing well, because then we'd be able to make a clips channel.
Yeah,
people would see our faces and be like, "Ooh, I want to see these people talk about things." Because I do understand. Like, I would much rather, when I'm searching through YouTube, watch a video of two people talking about certain
than
things
than an audio clip.
Than an audio clip.
But my thing also is, and you agree fully with me on this, is
okay.
Anyway, so there's basically two races. is that, I don't know, we've kind of always done it this way. And yeah, I'm sure if we did the video podcast, it would get more views. But I don't know, we've never really been one of those channels that's big into like doing what gets views. We've kind of just always done what we want to do.
I would say I am 100%. Even though I've filmed embarrassing shit in public before, I'm more comfortable recording a podcast with just the voice. Because then, like, if the camera's there, I have to think about, like, how I'm sitting.
And we're self-conscious, like, dudes.
Then that adds the whole thing of where, like, I'd look into the camera for jokes and I'd be more aware of, like, a viewer. Where, like, if there's no camera, like, when there's a camera, it's kind of like a stand-in for the viewer. You know that, like, something's watching you. But when we're having a podcast, we know that we're recording
just
it and we're being performative. But
I can scratch my nuts.
It does leave room, and it leaves instances where you and I will get into discussion, and it's not just, like, playing it up for the podcast sake. It's like we just get invested in a discussion, and I kind of forget I'm recording a podcast, and I just want to... And I'm just talking with you.
Yeah, exactly. And I really, I also feel like if we did video, we'd start to rely too much on visual bits. And mm-hmm. then the people that have listened to audio only for 200 episodes would start to feel like it's changing.
Yeah.
You know?
Where it's like, hey, look at this video. I'm going to pull up this video real quick.
Yeah, and then people that are just listening are like, oh, this isn't the same podcast I used to like. Because
there's a lot of factors. But I think at the end of the day, just we're doing what we find comfortable and we're doing what we feel is right for. Yeah, exactly what we're happy with.
You know,
we don't want to like cop as a, you've seen us. We've experimented before with the talking show. I mean, we do experiment and we do try things. It's just that if it doesn't gel, we're not going to push it forward any farther than we feel like it deserves.
Yeah, because I feel like we've also reached a point after 5-6 years of just our channels and all this stuff. I think that we're at a point where we have a group of people that follow us and enjoy our content and know us as creators really well. And I think that we don't feel like we have to do stuff just for clicks, because really, like, when we do this podcast, it's like the people listening care and the people listening like what we're saying for the most part. But I think that we're comfortable with that, knowing that we have an audience,
mm-hmm.
and growing the audience is always something we want to do, but it's not our main concern. We kind of want to just like keep living our lives and hanging out, but then sharing these discussions that we have with each other with the people that actually care and want to listen.
I'm kind of like with you, like I'm past the whole excitement over growth. Like I still find it overwhelming when I see the amount of people that's supporting us whenever we hit a milestone. That's great. But that's not, that used to be what the channel kind of, that was kind of like the adrenaline rush, the drug, you know. You'd make the content to see the reaction and then see it spread and see other people connect with your content and your style of humor. And
which still does give you a little high.
No, that still gives you a high, but like since the growth isn't as exponential, it's not the main, it's not one of the main reasons I draw positivity through what I'm doing. Like,
yeah.
I now just like recording the podcast and going in and recording the games I want to play. There was a part of us that, you know, was playing the game to grow in some instances, like some of the games we choose to play. And I feel like I'm more comfortable choosing games that we want to play instead of going after all the surgeon simulators and all that, or like the toast game or whatever the fuck that was called.
I think that for both of us, the most important thing with Super Mega is we want to create something that feels like us, like genuine and real. Like, I know that there's a million channels where it's like just two dudes hanging out on a couch.
Yeah.
That's what I genuinely, I don't want to emulate though. I don't want to emulate that feeling. I want to.
I don't
want to
have a set that's a couch and like a TV and everything. And that we're not. I'm not trying to masquerade a set as this ideal of two friends on a couch. I want to continue.
Want to be
to just. Yeah, exactly. I want to continue to be your friend, talking with you and playing video games, sitting on a couch and shooting the shit.
Because yeah, that's the thing. It's like I don't want to just.
And working on some special projects.
But that's what's so fun about it is because we actually are like best friends. That when we work on these special secret projects, we have. When you came over there and worked, I had a fucking blast. I can't wait for you to come over again and work on it. Like, we are working on some big shit, but I don't want to just be masquerading two friends on a couch as like, that's the theme of the show. I just want it to actually be two friends on a couch.
Yeah.
And if we ever stopped being friends, we wouldn't keep doing Super Mega.
No.
It makes good money and shit, but like, we wouldn't be happy doing it anymore. We like, if we weren't friends, we would. So the conspiracy theory is like they hate each other. It's like if we hate each other, we would not be doing Super Mega anymore. Yeah. We would do other shit.
No, you need the money though. So one could say that financially you would stay. It's like, yeah. But like,
I'd be happier with less money than forcing myself to do a show with someone I don't like.
Yeah.
You know,
or like just don't connect with well.
And feel like we have
trying to force
ourselves.
A connection, yeah.
Trying to force ourselves to keep making a show when we don't have a connection or don't want to, that makes me more depressed than having less money.
The channel's still very much just I'm making content with my friend.
And I want it to stay that way. I don't ever want it to change.
That's all the channel's ever been. And yeah, we have made mistakes and done some probably, we've made some questionable jokes or had some questionable viewpoints.
I never have.
Sure.
Just you.
Just me.
No, I definitely have.
but I don't know. It's just a journey, and I like viewing it as a journey.
That's exactly how I see it. I don't want to see this as like a channel, like a business. It is a business, but I don't want to see it as like I want, because I know Super Mega won't be around forever. There will come a day where we decide to pull the plug and say goodnight. I think that
it's inevitable.
What I want from Super Mega is I don't want it to become this weird like new hosts, or like if we, like let's say we just replace Matt and Ryan with like two new younger dudes,
and like where it's
I want
like,
it to be ours. That
where
it's
like
journey.
Super Mega is a brand.
No,
when it's like no, Super Mega is a brand. But okay, I'll bring it up. The reason we quit, like I stopped doing Syndigo, was because of Daniel passed away, and
right.
Daniel's personality was a huge part of Syndigo.
It was the two of you. It was you guys.
It made sense to stop it because that same energy and voice, it's not the same. It's different. It's not Syndigo. It's something else. And that's why I joined Kids with Problems. That's why eventually we had kind of the same issue with that, and we developed Super Mega because Super Mega
of like, unique voice.
Super Mega is a brand, but it's the brand that allowed us to consolidate who we are into something new that it wasn't based on anything else.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I think that basically I want to be able to look back at Super Mega and not be like, oh, that was a good company we had. Like, I want to be able to lay in bed and watch old videos.
It's more about
like,
the memories
cry.
We had.
Yes,
while,
the memories. Yeah. Yes. I want it to be like, that was a fun fucking journey I had with my friend in my 20s. Like, that was the fucking life. Like, that was awesome.
You remember going out and filming that? That was
much
fun. Because there are points where it's like, where we start filming a vlog and I don't know, I just like, we're not like into it. And so like, I started to be like, oh, are we just filming this to create content? Because we used to like that used to be the point. Yeah. You're filming to create content, but we'd also just, it was just about us hanging out, filming each other, having a good time, and then messing with it in post and editing. And that, I think honestly, that's a reason why, you know, we've talked about filming vlog. We have filmed the multiple vlogs, but I'm sure some of them will be released, but some of them I did have that feeling of, Is it just because we need content we feel forced to film this?
Because that's the thing, is I don't want to just people want live action, and I know that we're good at producing it, but we're both very self-conscious about it. And also it's like, we don't want to just create live action content to create, because our live action content, like our Japan vlogs and stuff, like that's us genuinely having fun. And I don't want to just be a YouTube channel that's like just pumping out cringy videos.
Yeah.
So people say like, where's the live action? It's not that we're lazy. Well, okay.
We are
a little bit lazy.
There's
but,
a part that's
but
lazy.
But there's a lot more to it than just that.
There's an easy there's an easy argument to be made, you know, against us for being lazy in terms of that with not having to do that struggle in building the channel, you build a sense of complacency, which in that can brew a creative deficit. And I think that I personally have been experiencing a huge lack of creativity. And
yeah.
I don't think that's necessarily because we're not, you know, fighting to build this channel. I honestly have to align it with just where I am mentally and in terms of like mental health or
it
just
comes,
kind of
goes.
Like with the overarching COVID stuff. There's also excuses of just, yeah. There are days and weeks where I feel lazy as fuck, and like
let's be real, guys. We're a 26 and 24 year old stoner,
yeah.
Duo. We're gonna feel like we're not like these heads of business, like a lot of other big YouTubers are. We're like running companies, like
we're still
like we'll fucking sleep until 3 p.m. Like we're literally just like college students, essentially, that got lucky with a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So we're not like business CEOs, maybe on paper, but
and
like
we never want it to feel like a business.
I don't
and
want
that seems
it to
spoiled,
feel
right? That's I mean, I can understand why people would be upset because there are a lot of people and you know, we used to work in the field where you have to get up and you have to work and you have to work.
You have to be
hard.
Dropping merch every week. You have to
you have to do all these things. And then at the end of the day, like say we're working for our Chick-fil-A or Food Lion. At the end of the day, the money that we earn from that just doesn't feel justified in the amount of work we might have put into it. So it develops into this kind of this sinking feeling. And I'm glad that we're able to do what we do. And I recognize the luck and the amazing support that you guys have brought to us, but mostly luck that we are able to have quote unquote jobs that allow us to act in a more irresponsible way, I guess. You know, we don't have to set alarms every day of the week. We don't have to work a 9 to 5.
If I had stayed through college and gotten a job, I wouldn't be sleeping until 3 p.m.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be getting up at like 7 a.m. every morning working a job I hate. So I feel so
So we're spoiled.
Lucky.
We are spoiled in that fact. But again, the type of content we make, like there is that fear of, well, if we do start to put certain things in place and we do, you know, like we do have work weeks and we do have work days, but it's not like we have to meet from here to here every day of the week. It's more of, you know, when we're both woken up, we'll text each other, reach out, be like, hey, are you ready to meet? And then we'll, sorry, I just saw a cute fucking squirrel run by the window. Anyway. Did you see my eyes? Like, follow it. But, no, there's oh, where was I? What was I saying?
That's, waking up and texting to meet every day.
Yeah, you know, there.
You don't want to set a precedent.
There's the fear that when it becomes a business in setting up the times and the specific work days and having, you know, getting up early, not only that, but then hiring more people and making it more of like clockwork in term, or I guess more of an assembly line. In means of making content, when it starts to feel like that, that's when the two guys sitting on a couch starts to wither away.
Yeah, it's it loses its soul. And I think one thing
we have to be lazy, guys. It's part of our creative magic.
See, no, I think that I think that one way it's interesting is like I think that we have kept the soul of Super Mega alive still 4 years later. Like I still feel like 4 years in, it still feels as genuine, and despite the growth, despite whatever, like I feel like we do, you know, because we are being genuine. We're not trying to feel genuine. We're being ourselves.
I also feel like we haven't, like, I don't know, we don't unnecessarily flood the market with like our content or merch or all that shit. Like I'm not trying to
I am trying to make money and I'm trying to be comfortable, but I'm not trying to make as much money as humanly possible.
Well, if we wanted to.
I want to get back into merch and stuff, but like I've just seen arguments where it's like, oh, I guess it's. This goes into reading negative comments, which we've talked about endlessly. But it's like, oh, they're now that they have money, they don't want to do it anymore, and they're just taking their money and kind of running with it and being lazy. And I use it in that voice because I believe that that's untrue, because I don't feel like that. I don't feel
no,
like
we're not like that.
I still like and enjoy making content. Would I enjoy having to record Let's Plays to where we would have to post two a day? No, I wouldn't enjoy that, so I'm not going to do it.
Because here's the thing. Like, let's be real. If Ryan and I wanted to be millionaires in 2 years, we probably could. We could record two Let's Plays a day.
Okay, Tyler Blevins.
I'm just saying. If we wanted, like, but the thing is, like, if we released merch every week, if we did two Let's Plays a day,
if we did live streaming.
But we don't.
If we did all these things.
Because it doesn't, as much as $1 million sounds awesome, it's like, I don't want to burn myself out, and I don't want to not enjoy this process with you. I don't want it to be, because I think you and I are both of the mindset where it's like, what we're making now is comfortable. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be making, it would be great, but it's like,
it would be great to have 8 Teslas in my garage.
Yeah, that'd be fucking awesome. It'd be great to have a stacking garage that can cycle out my sports cars.
Exactly.
But it's like, do we need that? No. And I think the level of money and the support, I think more importantly, the support we receive from you guys is so much more than a typical channel with 800,000 subs. And I think that is one of the things that just keeps us so grounded and keeps us going, because it's like, fuck, there's so many cool people out there. More people than should be supporting us for a channel of our size, because there's channels with 20, 30 million subs that don't have a fan base like Super Mega. Which is why it's wild to me.
Yeah.
So it's like, I guess we did something right, but I don't want to ever give that up and just become a generic channel just to make a lot of money. I like what we're doing now, and we do get lazy sometimes, like I'll admit that, and we miss uploads a lot, but I also don't want to set the precedent that it's like we're going to upload every day. We're going to always have content out, because no, at the end of the day, we're living our lives, we're living our 20s, and we're going to keep making content, but sometimes like we're going to focus on ourselves and just not upload for a bit.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean our content's any less good. That doesn't mean we're shitty people, because there is this quality that's expected on YouTube with like every day that's being uploaded this time. That's not Super Mega. It was maybe at some points.
Like
we
in the beginning
grow,
when we were just putting out videos as much as possible. And that was a great, fun beginning journey.
We're never just
going to
ditch Super Mega. So if we stop uploading for a couple of days, don't get scared. Like, oh, we're losing interest. Just we're dealing with our lives. We got our own mental shit. We're
just
self-conscious, remember whatever.
That time in life exists out of the content that you hear on Super Mega. So like our existence isn't just, we're not trapped inside our YouTube channel. Like there are hours and days where like we're not working on Super Mega like you would think of a weekend. Or just, I don't know, after we're done recording, you know, I go home, I drive in traffic and I sit there and I listen to music and then I get home and I pet Lego and I, you know, rest with him for a bit. Then I feed him, I go outside and let him run around. Then I go back inside to make some food. You know, it's like we are humans that have lives and we do a bunch of things other than our create content and think about creating content.
We have family shit. We got, you know, roommates to deal with, fucking tough
friendships, you know, it's just,
I mean, I mean, not to mention like personal anxieties, depression, OCD, whatever. Like there's a
whatever excuse will make you guys forgive us and keep watching.
No, there's just a lot. I think people don't, I think especially with big YouTube channels, people don't see it as people. They see it as, and I think it's to dehumanize themselves because it becomes such a routine scheduled
we're not asking for much, guys. We're asking for you to play Truck Simulator once a week, okay? It's not much.
One let's play a week, sure. No. So you know, obviously we've said this recently. We've been burnt out the past few months, and we are starting some new big projects that feel fucking awesome. We're excited.
One project in particular. Where I was telling Matt. I told Matt, and we're going to stick to this, I told him, this isn't a project that I want, because there have been projects that we've been talking about that kind of fall, like, back into the wayside, you know?
Yeah.
This is a project where I'm like, I want to come over to your place and work on this Like use super mega work days, because Monday through Friday are days that we are like, we have to do something for super mega, whether it's a business conversation, whether it's recording, whatever it is, something for super mega has to be involved in that week or day. And I saying at least two or at least one day out of that work week, all we do for that day, maybe even three.
Three, I think. I
come over and we work on this project because I want, no matter what, I want there to be progression always for this project to be
fucking awesome.
Because
and the thing
I'm so excited to.
I am too. And it feels fucking awesome. It feels kind of back to like the Syndigo days working on it, I think.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's a problem. And I think what I want to do is, even if we're not coming in and just recording Let's Plays or uploading as much, like, people can rest assured that we are working on something that is big that will be coming out soon.
Yes. I would also like to start recording more drunk drawing again.
Yes. Well,
I feel like we're getting to the point where we can.
We were like, oh, we can't because the pandemic's so bad. But now the pandemic's even worse. Yeah,
we're just waiting for Jackson.
Yeah. Jackson has been out of town for over a month. He's been. So basically, Jackson has this deal with this older woman where she pays him a weekly allowance, and he, you know, does things. I don't want to get into details. I don't want to give away his personal info. But recently, she said, "I'm lonely during this pandemic. Come visit me in Utah." So he has been in Utah for the last month.
Well, she asked him to send pictures first, but
oh yeah,
well, I guess that's not important.
Not important.
I'll cut that out.
She did the casting thing where she made him do the mold of his but he's been in Utah for a month, seeing this older woman. So I don't want to get into his personal life or give away too many details.
Yeah.
But he'll be coming back soon. And then once he's back, we're going to get drunk drawing going again. Oh, fart sound effect.
Oh, there it is.
There it is. Hell yeah. Ryan, since this was the poo-poo episode, what do you say we
end it with a big poo-poo?
Yeah.
I mean, we just had a fart sound effect play. You think it's...
Hey, buddy, it's the poo-poo episode.
That is true. Okay.
So we'll see you guys next week for episode 200. And...
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.